Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Back in the booth, back on the airways. Happy Wednesday to you as we come into the Fan Run studio. The whole crew's here. We're back together. We've reshuffled the bedrooms, but the family is back together. John Reed, Cody McClure, intern Andrew, Periscope Ben. We are live if you want to watch along on Fox Sports Knoxville. How are we doing this morning? Thumbs up from intern Andrew. Cody, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here. Good to be anywhere. It's a little different with the switch up, as the kids have switched bedrooms. Not sure what's going on with that. It's going to be a little bit different looking at Ben here, trying to run the Periscope cameras. But I guess that's the situation he's found himself in.
I had to take a stand for the for the podcast listeners.
Yeah,
I had to take a stand. I'm not mad anymore, just disappointed, and hoping we can move past this and learn our lesson.
Andrew, I fully expect you to interject with snide comments about UCF occasionally throughout the show. Let us know how good Central Florida is.
I don't like Central Florida, Cody. I kind of agree with you.
Oh, well.
Yeah, cut your mic off, intern Andrew.
I already like this. I already like where this is going. How you doing today?
I'm okay. I almost had a meltdown at the beginning of the day. I wanted to do something ugly, but I didn't, so I'm proud of myself.
Hardy's run out of sausage egg biscuits
or something? No, no. They never run out. Come on. They never run out of sausage egg biscuits.
That's true.
Hardy's keeps the biscuits on deck. No, in my parking lot, the person next to me, way over the line.
Mm.
Just couldn't park, and I couldn't get in my car. And I parked a good – I made a concerted effort because I had, you know, things in my car. I was trying to get the shipment of volunteer vodka out of the car and take it inside. So I made a concerted effort to leave a lot of space between the driver's side and, the car next to me, right? Or not even the car next to me, the line next to me. I made a concerted effort. I wanted extra room to make sure that I'm able to maneuver. And she was way over her line and into my line. And had her wheels turned and everything. I couldn't get in my car this morning. I mean, I could get in my car, but not, you know.
So it was a woman.
With my gym bag. I assume it was a woman.
Oh.
Because she
couldn't park? Or
no.
What are you saying?
No, because she had sorority tags on her license plate.
Could have been a guy who liked tri-delts.
Maybe.
Sorority girls are known for not being able to park.
Well, I'm not the one who made it sexist. That was you.
You said you assumed.
I assumed because he had sorority stickers on her car.
Okay.
And a sorority license plate.
Could have been a sorority girl's dad.
Could have been.
Or a sugar dad.
Could have been.
So anyway.
I don't know why the dad would have moved up from Florida with her, but... So I assumed it was just the girl.
Yeah.
I wanted to leave an ugly letter. I wanted to publicly shame her. I wanted to do something, but I just, you know what? I said, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to sit here and let my blood pressure go up. I'm going to try to calm down. I'm going to move on. So that's what I did.
As Sigma Kappa Becky just enjoyed her breakfast knowing that she'd left you in a precarious situation.
Yes, she did.
What kind of sorority was it? Is she a Zeta?
Does Kappa Delta sound right?
Oh, yeah. Those are the most entitled ones, aren't they? Those are the worst ones. She had a key to her car. Yes.
But when I opened my back seat, when I opened my back door, I hit her door a little bit. You know what? I didn't feel bad about it because I was like, you know what? That's kind of what you get.
What kind of car did she have?
A Lexus.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But like an older.
You should have keyed.
But like an older. I'm not going to key somebody's car.
Just ride down the side. Oh, my bad. I must have my keys out.
That seems really aggressive just, you know, for a parking violation.
I mean, if I wake up and I'm starting my day not being able to get in my car because some sorority chick parked too close to
it
me.
It was the worst parking job I've ever seen in a lot designed for parking, like for apartments and stuff. Not like Walmart. I've seen some doozies at Walmart. I'm talking about like one where you know spots are limited.
Yeah.
And we've gotten reprimanded by the landlord many times for people taking up two spots. Like, this was the most egregious offense I've seen.
Oh, you made that clear about 3 minutes ago when you said women can't drive.
No, I never said that. I said I assumed she was a woman. And you revealed your true colors. Not me. Not I. Nope. Looking at the wrong guy. Was it me? I know women can drive. Women are great drivers. They're just as good as men. Have you ever seen Fast and Furious?
I don't know.
Letty was pretty good. Letty was pretty good.
I don't think women are great drivers, but maybe they are as good as men. I don't think men are good drivers either.
Okay.
I think a lot of us are bad drivers.
Well, at a certain point, you have to grade on a scale.
I mean,
everyone's bad, then we have to readjust what we think good is.
The people who park like that, though, is that not, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know religion all that well, but.
Wait, what?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that not the one unforgivable sin, is parking too close to someone? Doesn't that just immediately doom you to hell for eternity?
No, that's a little extreme.
That's not the one?
No, that's a little extreme.
Yeah. I thought there was like one unforgivable sin. That was the one.
No, that's not the. If we're power ranking public, would it be a public nuisance or a breach of social contract? Like what would we consider that?
Complete neglect for anyone.
Right. I mean, we all kind of sign a social contract, right? That we're going to abide by the rules of society.
That ranks pretty high. That ranks pretty high because sometimes you can't get in the car. Did you have to crawl over from the passenger seat?
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't that egregious.
Well?
It's just I couldn't open. I mean, I was able to squeeze in. So, I mean, it wasn't like I had to go through the window. Have you had that? I've never had that happen before, I don't think.
I've had to crawl over from the passenger seat before, and talk about a tough situation. It's not easy. You know what? I say after the show, we head down to Ann Baker Furrow Boulevard, right down there to the sorority houses, and we just go door to door knocking on each sorority house looking for who did that to you.
Well, I mean, she doesn't live in the sorority houses.
Well, that's okay. We'll go down to the sorority houses. We're bound to find somebody who knows her. Alexis. Of course it was Alexis.
What's the story of the day?
We beat Georgia Tech last night.
Is that it? Is that the story of the day?
I guess. It's the only sports I watched.
What'd you think about the game?
Thought it was pretty sloppy, pretty ugly. I mean, it wasn't a great game to watch. Neither team could make shots particularly well, but you could tell that we were good enough to never let them back into the game. Like, we were good enough defensively and good enough as a team to kind of keep that at 10 to 12 most of the game. Now, I know they cut it down to, what, 5 a couple times? But we still kind of kept them at an arm's reach, despite it definitely not being our best performance.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Tennessee win over Georgia Tech next. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Toyota Knoxville offers a lifetime warranty. Is the result of a 9 p.m. tip-off. How stupid is it? All last year, you talked about how stupid it was. This year, the SEC or I assume the SEC is in charge of this. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's all of college basketball. Maybe there's a joint collaboration. I don't know. But whoever decided that Memphis and LSU, two teams in the Central time zone, should start at 7 p.m., and Atlanta and Knoxville, two teams that are in the Eastern time zone, that they should play at 9 p.m. Whoever decided that should be publicly shamed.
Shame.
They are worse than the bad Parkers. They are worse than the people who take up a spot and a half. Last night it looked like the players were tired, sleepy, ready to go to bed.
It's like the opposite of a noon game in football.
What do you mean by that? In terms of just it being too early?
Well, we talk about the same thing in football, like players aren't ready because it's a noon game. So now we're doing it with basketball. Players aren't ready because it's a late game. Is there a perfect time to start a game?
Yeah,
like,
3:30 p.m. for football and 7 p.m. for basketball.
I don't have a problem with a 9 p.m. tip. I know everybody complains about it. I don't have a problem with it. I'm a bit of a night owl. Most normal people probably got to get to bed. I understand that. So, you know, it's probably just me personally. But I don't really have a huge problem with it. I mean, it's over by 11. Am I wrong in saying that most adults between the ages of 18 and, 45 are still awake at 11? I know some people got to go to bed earlier, but.
No, I don't know. I think that's probably inaccurate when you say most. Like, I think people would stay up for Kentucky.
You think most people go to bed?
You just mean in general or, like, revolving around their sports teams?
I would say in general. In general.
Oh, no, I'd say most are in bed by 11. 18 to 45?
Yeah.
No, yeah, most are in bed by 11.
I feel like 11 may be the time, though. You think most people go to bed at 10?
I'd say somewhere between 10:15 and 10:40.
Be a good poll question. What time do you go to bed?
Now, when you make it 18, it gets skewed down.
Yeah, because you have the college age. And the older you get, I think it goes the other way.
Right. I think if you went like 25 to 55, it would be more than half or in bed by 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Overall, though, I thought this was a promising performance in the sense that Tennessee played awful and you still comfortably won. Like, Georgia Tech's bad. Josh Pastner's hair, I don't know what the hell's going on with that. It's embarrassing.
Someone said he looked like the Southern Baptist version of Adam Sandler. It was pretty good. Someone said that on Twitter. Or something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I mean, in the face I see it, but not in the hair.
I don't know.
That perm he had last night. Whatever the hell is going on with his hair, I don't know what was happening with Josh Pastner.
You think he's got a perm?
I don't know, man. It was pretty curly.
Could just be naturally curly.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember.
Or it could be a perm.
I don't remember it being like that at Memphis.
I used to want to get a perm when I was in high school. I wanted to have curly hair. Wouldn't that look weird? Could you imagine if I got a perm? Just come in one day with a fro. It's my curls.
I feel like you should do that now.
I might do it. We can make that one of our bet punishments.
Nah, your hair might be too thin.
Probably.
Let's go to the McKinney Team Hotline. Let's grab Lloyd. Lloyd, thanks for joining the show. The floor is yours.
Morning, John.
Morning.
Hey, guys. I went back and I DVR'd the coach's show. And so I was watching the Beach Nut show last night, and our play-by-play guy was still referring to that Kentucky running back as Schnell.
Yeah, he's so bad.
I can't. I was listening on the radio a little bit last night to him calling the basketball game, and if I got to hear him say the name Williams one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. He says Grant Williams. Grant Williams with the bucket. Williams. Can you not pronounce an L?
Well, I think it kind of shows you what this university's commitment to excellence has been. This guy's 20th year on the beat, and no better now than that first day against Wyoming back in 99. Kind of sad. Guys, did we see last night a team that has players ranked between 115 and 400? And was last year an aberration?
Oh, no. I think the first two games they played well enough to not make you worry about that performance. Louisiana's a better team than Georgia Tech is, or just as good. And Tennessee looked good against them. I mean, I think you're allowed in basketball to lay a couple of clunkers, and the fact that Tennessee still was able to win comfortably, I took that as an overall positive.
Yeah, it was just frustrating that a team with this much experience, this many veteran players that can score, were rushing so much on offense. Now, granted, the ball didn't go in a few times, but, I mean, it's just hopefully it was a you know, that one off where everyone was brain dead last night, because that was an absolute slop fest.
Yeah, yeah, it was ugly to watch. And the refs, I mean, look, the refs didn't help the flow of the game at all. How many fouls ended up getting called? The last number I saw was like 47. So like, I imagine it's pretty tough to get in a rhythm when that happens, right? Especially, again, I don't know if the 9 o'clock tip matters, but it's the first one of the year. And then every time you're up and down the court, there's a whistle.
Yeah, so those fouls were awful.
I think that affects offensive performance more than we know. And, again, I think that was a overall positive a positive takeaway. Is just like, hey, you played pretty terrible, but your defense still was there. And you still held Georgia Tech to 27.5% from the field. And that's promising to me.
Yeah, and if you hit half the free throws, it's a 20-point game.
Yeah, that might concern you.
Is
like, what the hell happened to the free throws? That might concern you because, as you said, Lloyd, the experience, like that shouldn't be players going to the line nervous. Like, everybody should have a pretty good grip on their free throws by now, right? So, like,
Williams was missing, you know, and that's the one guy, if you had to have on the line, you'd want on the line.
He looked frustrated. I noticed a little bit later in the game with maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 minutes left, somewhere in there, he shot two free throws, missed the first one. It was when he was at the line by himself in the second half.
Mm-hmm. And Cody, he also was back to that complaining to the officials when he got called for a foul, and he hadn't done that. That's the one part of his game I cannot stand. I mean, yeah, he's SEC Player of the Year, and he probably should get calls, but it ain't a fair world.
Yeah, I'd imagine Barnes will be back on him about that, about just playing, because like you said, it was an issue last year. And
well, he was on him after Lenore Ryan, and he came out and dropped 30 against Louisiana. So
yeah.
he might just be a guy you got to keep on him, you know.
Rod.
Yeah.
Well, last night was Georgia Tech's got a sorry team, but they did have some pretty good length down low, and you know, Grant being undersized, I don't think that is one of his strengths. And that worries me about the potential Kansas matchup, because that Agabunye guy or whatever his name is,
yeah.
Azubuki, I think might be his name, he's a talented big man. He's not a stick figure like the Georgia Tech guys. This guy is a full-sized guy with good post moves and good defense.
Yeah, those Georgia Tech guys were huge, but they just couldn't move.
Yeah,
I mean, they just didn't have the capabilities.
What do we know about Louisville? I literally have no idea. I mean, I know Chris Mack is the coach, but I don't know anything about their roster.
Same. I was about to start looking into that in the upcoming days.
Okay.
Yeah.
They should be in a total rebuild, right?
I don't know. Basketball's not really like that, I don't think. Like when I just remember when Boeheim got hit with all those sanctions and, you know, scholarship things, he went to the Final Four the next year. Yeah, uh-huh. So, like, I don't know if it matters in basketball if you have a good coach. And I think Chris Mack's a good coach, so we'll see.
When you look at the game coming up Saturday, guys, this is starting to feel like 2014 to me, you know, where you dropped the Missouri game at home and then you had to have that win at Vanderbilt to make a bowl. What do y'all think? I'm not really feeling this one.
Well, I hope not, because me and you watched that Vanderbilt game together, and it was one of the least enjoyable experiences I've had watching football. That was painful.
And what made it even worse was Butch had the team post for a team picture in the south end zone of Dudley. And I think that's when we, without a shadow of a doubt, knew that guy was a complete clown.
Appreciate the phone call, Lloyd.
Well, let's watch a game together again.
Holler at me. Thoughts on, the basketball performance wasn't pretty. But I didn't come out of that thinking these players aren't talented anymore. I came out of it thinking it's basketball, and there's a reason that teams don't go undefeated. And there's a reason that, you know, by the time tournament comes, you're looking at the 6 and 7 lost teams as the one seeds. And that's because basketball's tough, and it's a game where you're not going to shoot well every night, and you're not going to get the good whistle from the officials every night. And, you know, last night was such a hard game to watch. Because of the whistles, I'd imagine it was a tough game to play in, just stopping and starting. And then once you do start missing free throws, I do think that's kind of contagious in terms of just everyone seems to miss free throws.
Yeah, and like you said, it's hard to get in a rhythm when you've just got whistle after whistle. And I think we saw that, because we would see Tennessee get out to you know, they would get close. They would get out to 12, 15, and then it would get narrowed back. And they'd get to 12, 15 and get narrowed back. Georgia Tech going to the free throw line again. Like, it just – it was one of those games. It was hard to watch. It was just kind of boring. But I do think it's definitely an overreaction to think that last year was an aberration because of a 13-point win at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Against Georgia Tech, who's a ACC team, and granted, they're not very good.
No, but the fact that you're able to not play your best game and miss 14 free throws and get all these fouls called, and you're still good enough to win by double digits, I think it just shows that you're pretty good.
You miss 14 free throws, you shoot 33% from three, and you only hit four of them. You shoot less than 40% from the field, and you still get a double-digit win.
Yeah.
Now, if you play like that against Kansas, you're going to get blown out. But I don't worry about what a team looks like in the middle of a week, late game, bad opponent with a good opponent coming up. Right? Now, if Tennessee would have lost to Georgia Tech, sure. Then maybe you could be mad and be worried about how the team looks. But double-digit win, didn't come down to the final possession. You kept them at arm's reach the entire second half.
And you could make the case if Georgia Tech had hit some of those threes that they missed.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that Georgia Tech should have had a chance to win the game. But they didn't. You know, it played out how it played out. I mean, still a win. Still a comfortable win. It was never really in doubt. You know, so I'm not gonna have any negative reaction over it.
Especially because if you look at Admiral Schofield, he was bad last night. 3 for 13, limping around, you know, he had a couple injury scares where you're like, oh no, is Admiral hurt? But he didn't play well last night. I have confidence in him. Right? Like, he might be a player ranked in the outside the top 100, but he's a pretty good player, right? Yeah, we're not worried about what he was recruited as out of high school. He's shown that he can be a big-time college basketball player. He had an off night. If he plays good, Tennessee wins by 20 points.
Yeah, and, you know, you hit those free throws you missed, right? You hit, what, 7 of those instead of, you know, miss, you know, go 31 for 38. You win by 20. I mean, there's so many things you could point to and say, you do this, you do that, you win by 20.
Now, Kansas.
We still controlled the whole game.
Now, Kansas is coming, we think. Although, maybe we should start thinking about Louisville instead.
I think we got to think about Louisville first. We should look into them, see what they've got going on.
It's a pretty good indication of expectations for the season that people are already upset. And it's what I was worried about. The expectations being too high. And what I mean by that is not that Tennessee shouldn't be an Elite Eight team, because, yeah, I think they should be. I think they should have a good chance to make a Final Four. I don't want to focus on those expectations and that pressure so much that you can't enjoy regular season success. And Tennessee is 3-0. And they won by double digits. And that's important to keep saying that they won by double digits, because not because it makes you feel better of what you watched, but just that, like, perception-wise across the country, no one looked at the bottom the little ticker on ESPN and thought, wow, Tennessee only won by 6 against Georgia Tech. No, you look and say, oh, 13-point game, yeah, that's fine.
Well, you were never on upset alert or anything like that. You had control of the game.
No one's going to drop you in the polls for a double-digit win.
No.
If you came out and you squeaked out a 3 or 4 point win, yeah, maybe. But if you win by double digits, you're looking and saying, yeah, you did what you were about supposed to. The spread was 16. Tennessee won by 13. So, I mean, they didn't meet expectations. They didn't meet the standard that was set in Vegas, but they were close.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty early to start freaking out. But I do worry about that, too, because we're going to drop a game here somewhere that we should win. We'll drop a game or two. We'll lose to Conzo in Missouri, or we'll lose to South Carolina and Wacko Frank Martin or somebody in a game that we should have won. And, you know, the overreactions are going to be coming in strong. Still thinking, you know, you got to think big picture with this team.
Next week, we'll kind of let you know what this team. I don't even want to say they'll let you know what they're about, because if they lose to Louisville, like, I still don't know if I'll be ready to panic or to, like, change my expectations. But next week will be much more of a measuring stick, I guess.
I mean, really the only bad thing that could happen is you lose to Louisville and then you lose to Marquette.
Yeah, I mean, that would be bad.
That would suck. To come out of that 3-2 and not even have your shot at Kansas.
Yeah, that would be no good. That'd be no fun. But even then, you'd be like, okay, it's fine. Just get to the SEC and you play Gonzaga, beat Memphis. Memphis and LSU played a pretty fun game last night.
I mean, that was a better matchup than us versus Georgia Tech on paper, probably.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure.
I mean, that might be part of the reason that was a 7 o'clock game.
Is 7 o'clock the prime time, I guess? I was thinking they would want the West Coast to have a chance to watch the better matchups. Maybe they wanted Tennessee to be on display for the West Coast. I don't know. Let's catch a break. We'll return and talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
The days are shorter and football is back.
Got a report coming from the NBA. I got two of them. You want one about coaching or one about a player?
Player.
Well, apparently Rick Pitino would be interested in the Minnesota Timberwolves job if Tom Thibodeau is fired.
Who does Rick Pitino play for?
No, he's a coach.
Oh, I thought I said player.
Oh.
Should have known you'd do the opposite.
Oh, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
I love those reports. It's like, hey, Butch Jones is interested in the Maryland job. Yeah, of course he is.
Sure.
Of course he is. Hey, Rick Pitino would love to get the Minnesota job because his son is coaching at Minnesota. Which, by the way, I don't think his son's done. Has his son done very good at Minnesota?
Richard.
Like, I feel like Minnesota's basketball program isn't in a very good position right now. I might be wrong on that. But if I'm Richard Pitino, I'm worried that Rick's going to come try to take that job, too. Because Rick just wants to coach.
He just wants to work with young men.
He just wants to coach. You better be careful, Richard. Papa Rick's going to come take your job, like the vampire he is. Minnesota, okay, so... Richard's been there, I guess, for one, two, three, four, fifth. He's in his sixth year. 2 years ago, went 24-10, made his only NCAA tournament appearance. Last year, went 15-17. So I'd say this is a make-or-break year for Richard.
Did he take over for Tubby Smith?
Probably. Right? I mean, he took over in 2013, so I'd imagine that was for Tubby Smith.
Yeah, it'd be around that time.
I just love those reports. Well, yeah, his son coaches in Minnesota, so it makes sense. That's not going to matter to anybody. And I wouldn't imagine they hire Rick Pitino for a young team to get them over the hump in the NBA.
Wouldn't that be an unprecedented thing if the Gophers fired Richard Pitino and brought in Rick? Or maybe he'd probably keep a job on staff, you know, but just bring in Rick to...
I don't think you could do that if you're Richard. Like, if you get... replaced by your dad, you got to leave. You can't stay on staff.
Yeah.
It was kind of surprising to me, like, with the Titans, that their offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur, is their offensive coordinator because they interviewed him to be their head coach. And then I guess was like, hey, you're not ready to be a head coach yet, but you can be our offensive coordinator, which I guess is still an upgrade, but at the same time, I'd be like, well, what about the main job? What about the HC? What about that one? Can I get that one?
No.
No, sorry. You'd be an OC. Okay, damn it, I guess. I mean, I don't really get to call the plays with Sean McVay, so this would be cool. This is a promotion, I guess. But yeah, no, Rick Pitino apparently wants to coach Minnesota if they fire Tom Thibodeau, excuse me. According to Marcus Thompson, who is a NBA journalist for The Athletic, a veteran on the Golden State Warriors, has already said that there is no way Durant is coming back next year. after this Draymond fight. With what was said, there is already no way Durant is coming back. And we didn't really talk about their scuffle. We sort of did. You know, yesterday they had one, last night or two nights ago. And you can do some mouth investigating, and you can see Durant walking out of the huddle of like that's and saying, that's why I'm gone. Basically, like he's tired of Draymond. Yeah, that's why I'm gone. So that's good, right? The Warriors might be breaking up. It seems like they might be imploding. And quite frankly, they suspended Draymond last night. The Warriors didn't really look good against my Hawks. They ended up pulling away a little bit, but they struggled.
I mean, I think the run has pretty much run its course.
This is the last year, right? It feels like we could be pretty confident that this is the last year.
Could happen with the Patriots and the Warriors.
That'd be nice. We just got a complete reset.
In both sports?
Yeah.
Does baseball have a dominant? I mean, the Astros have been good for a while. The Red Sox just kind of came out of nowhere.
The Red Sox were the best team, you know, by far in baseball last year. They won, I think they were six games ahead of the Astros. But the Astros, yeah, have been in the Final Four the last couple of years. But no, they don't belong in the same breath as the Warriors and Patriots.
Penguins.
I don't think they belong in the same breath either. I mean, like, maybe I'm wrong.
They didn't even make it last year. The Caps got one.
Yeah. They knocked out the Penguins, I want to say, in round one? The first round, right?
The semifinals, right?
Yeah. Oh, was it the second round?
I was thinking it came down to the Caps and the Penguins, didn't it? To get to the Stanley Cup?
I don't think that's that
good. Is that not true?
I think they played Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I might be completely off on that, but for some reason I thought it was Washington versus Tampa Bay.
I don't know. I just remember them playing. I don't remember. I don't know what round it was.
Yeah. No, I think it was.
I know the Preds got knocked out.
Maybe it
That's
was
when
the
I quit watching.
Maybe it was the conference semifinals because that was Ovechkin's first time in the conference finals. He beat the Penguins. Either way, I don't think the Penguins belong in this conversation. I think the Warriors and Patriots are pretty much the only two that you could look at and say, yeah, this might be coming to an end. And, like, celebrate it. Kind of dance on their grave a little bit. It's off to a rocky start already, 15 games in. You do wonder if it gets worse moving forward this year and if it could impact them this year. Like Durant and Draymond are already at each other's throats. Is now really the time you want to drop in a DeMarcus Cousins in that locker room? Which he gets credit for kind of being the peacemaker and walking Draymond off and trying to calm him down. But I'd imagine when they're playing on the court together, that'll kind of fire back up. What are you smiling about?
I saw something on Twitter. It made me laugh.
What was it? Can you share with all of us?
I wasn't laughing. I just kind of smiled.
What was it?
Well, let's just get back to talking about Draymond and everything.
Well, what was so funny?
I cracked a smile. It wasn't anything.
It was enough to distract.
Hilarious
me.
Or anything.
It was enough to distract me.
It was
enough to distract you.
I was looking at our Periscope.
Okay.
Actually, Ben's got it on the three-way cam right now, so I'm just looking at Andrew over there doing his thing. I just thought it's kind of funny because I see Andrew there in the producer's chair, and Ben's not there.
Lucky for Andrew, he had just gotten a haircut for the wedding.
He looks good.
He is ready for his camera debut.
He looks good, but it was just funny because I just glanced at it. I was like, wait, that's not Ben. I mean, it really wasn't worth spending any time on. I just kind of cracked a smile. I don't know why. What did Ben say?
So Pittsburgh and the Caps played in round two,
Ben
right?
Just has to whisper because
And that was Ovechkin's first time in the conference finals. He's doing his best Andrew impression of just quietly talking with mics around.
He hasn't sent me any headlines yet. So the Caps and the Pens played. What did we discover?
Round two.
Okay.
I'm
trying to get us back on track here, back to where we were at talking hockey.
What a hero! Get us off track and then try to drag us.
Get us off track.
You did.
You were the conductor, and you said, "You know what? We're going off this bridge right now." Yeah, you did.
I just needed to know what had you so distracted.
What was
making you smile as I was trying to have a conversation with you, which is what the whole point of this show is.
We were having a conversation. I looked away for 1 second. I cracked a smile because I saw Andrew on the Periscope.
Be present.
I am
just
present.
Be present.
I'm present, I'm past, and I'm future.
Send us a break, Andrew.
The days are shorter and football is back. It's Kelly from Knoxville Stone Interiors reminding you not to fall.
Text WR Golf to 31996 to register for 2 free months. Your chance to win 2 free months of golf courtesy of Wind River. 31996 WR Golf. If you registered in October, you can do it again in November. See if you can win 2 free months of golf. Yesterday, the NFL made the move that they had to make and decided that Mexico, yeah, you're not getting the best game of the year.
Yeah, the field conditions were just too bad. So they move it from Mexico City to L.A. Do you think it's that they wanted the best game of the year in the States as well?
No. No, I think they would love to be able to showcase an international game of two great teams. Like, London's a little bit different. You know, they usually don't send the best teams to London all the time. The best matchups to London, because that's a little bit different. That requires what? How long's the flight to London? How long's the flight from London to Nashville?
6 hours.
Is that it?
8 hours.
Is that it?
6 to 8 hours, I'm going to guess.
Okay. I have no clue.
I really don't know.
I mean, isn't
I was, maybe that,
like,
8 hours?
Nashville to New York's like 4 hours, right? Like, I know Atlanta to Vegas is like 4 hours. So like,
I did L.A. to Little Rock in like three and a half.
Is there only a 2 hour difference? I mean, I guess planes could go faster, but it seems like it would take more than a 2 hour difference to fly to.
Does it take 4 hours to fly from Nashville to New York?
I don't know about to New York, but to Vegas.
From London to Nashville, it's 9 hours.
Okay.
So that requires a little bit more travel and has a little bit more impact on players, whereas Mexico City, you know, probably a 2 or 3 hour flight.
Is Mexico City not dangerous?
No, I'd imagine.
The news reports I recall hearing over the last decade or so is that Mexico City's a dangerous place.
Like, I mean, there's parts of Mexico that are dangerous.
Now, maybe that was just Fox News, but I don't know.
Wouldn't that have been something if the caravan had made it to the Chiefs and the Chiefs and Rams game? That'd have been that. The NFL couldn't have afforded to walk those political lines. Can't put Patrick Mahomes in danger of the caravan.
Mexico City's like huge too, isn't it? It's like the size of New York, except it's like a trash city, right? I'm interested. I've never been to Mexico City.
I thought Mexico City would be the most developed city in the country. I assumed it would not be that bad. But either way, the NFL looked and said, we're not playing. And I honestly think it was because of the players. Because Adam Schefter reported during the day, during our show, they're like, hey, they're still planning on playing in New Mexico City. That's the goal, is to get this game done there. And then a report came out like 2 hours later that says players are considering sitting out and not risking their injuries on this field. And then like 30 minutes later, Adam Schefter said, yeah, the game's moved. We're moving it to L.A.
The air pollution, that's what I was thinking of.
The air pollution what?
In Mexico City is bad. And there's also like their districts are very separated. Like you can tell from like aerial photos, like the poor section versus the upper section.
It wasn't until the players came out and said, hey, we're not playing, that the NFL was like, okay, you win. And now they're moving it to Los Angeles. Moving it back to Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. That's where the Rams play, right? They play at the Coliseum, right?
Yes.
How's that going to work with tickets? Like, it's a Rams home game, but what about the Chiefs fans who had tickets? Like, is it – I mean, I guess there's probably more seats in the – I guess it's probably equal, right? It's not like the Chargers stadium who only holds 20,000. I guess the Coliseum is a real-life football stadium.
Yeah, it's like 70-something thousand.
I'd say they have some 80. Type of honoring system, too, if you had tickets to Mexico. Now, although this does seem like a logistical nightmare for fans who were planning on traveling, right?
Yeah.
Hope you bought the insurance on the flight. If not, enjoy Mexico City. A random trip to Mexico City doesn't seem as fun when you don't have football to plan it around.
Enjoy Mexico City. Try some of the tacos while you're down there. Although the tacos in L.A. are pretty good, too.
Does this change how you view the game, though? Because, like, when it was a neutral site, I thought of it as, you know, no home field advantage, two even teams. Does this game being in Los Angeles now change any of that?
I really don't think it changes a whole lot. I don't think L.A. has a great home field advantage anyway.
No, I mean, the Packers overran it, and the Chiefs don't get the same credit. The Chiefs don't get the same credit as those bigger fan bases, but I'd say they're one notch below. They travel pretty well.
I mean, if anything, it's probably around the same distance. Like, if Kansas City fans that are flying out, isn't it probably about the same, a flight to Mexico City as a flight to L.A., distance-wise? Or am I way off base on that? Seems like Kansas City to L.A. and Kansas City to Mexico City would be about the same.
I'd say that's probably pretty accurate. We'll put our research team on it. But the point spread went from relatively close to a pick 'em. I think it was at like 1.5. Last I checked it, at least. I might be wrong on that. But now it's gone up to Rams 3.5. Because they're at home. It's went up a little bit. Now, these teams aren't in the same conference, so there's not huge home field advantage implications on this in terms of tiebreakers like that Rams-Saints game. Like, that one was a big game. That one was who's going to get the one seed, basically.
Right.
A flight from Kansas City to Mexico City is 6.5 hours, and L.A. to Kansas City is 3 hours.
Okay, big difference. Big difference. Glad we got to the bottom of that. Thanks, Andrew. Mexico City's actually not a bad-looking city.
If I ask for, like, sports stuff to fact-check something like that, you guys are nowhere to be found. If I ask for flights, though, I got my research team on that ASAP.
That's easier to find.
The Richard Pitino thing. No one gave me the Richard Pitino thing. I had to look that one up myself.
I've got a computer
But the
now,
damn
so.
Flights, you guys got that one on deck. Great to have my booking agents over here. My travel agent's ready to get me flights to anywhere in the world.
A couple of Travelocity gnomes.
Yeah, I got my itinerary ready to go, ready to get printed out. Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.